You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
My name's Mark. If you're new here, I'm one of the pastors on staff. In fact, 8 years ago this weekend, 8 years ago this weekend, I was actually voted on as the pastor of True North Church. And I think everyone's still wondering, like, is it going to work? No, man, good to be here. In fact, how many of you guys were here 8 years ago that weekend? Raise your hand real high. Like there was a half a dozen in the first service and a half a dozen here. And good to have everyone here today. Hey, today is a special day. It's 4th of July weekend, but besides that, at True North Church, we didn't announce it, we didn't promote it because we want to see how it went. But I can tell you right now, Wednesday night we did it. We did a first service, and it was a home run, everyone's favorite, so probably it'll be an annual 4th of July weekend tradition now. We're calling it Young Gun Sunday. When I say Young Gun Sunday, what I mean by that is last service our kids pastor preached. On Wednesday night, Levi, our young worship guy, preached. He's the guy that's really, really skinny. Anyone know what I'm talking about? When he stands sideways and sticks the tongue out, he looks like a zipper. That's the guy. But today, this service, we have Clarence Goward. Now, I met Clarence 17 years ago. Clarence was in junior high. The funny thing is, at junior high camp, I was living in Las Vegas. I preached at junior high camp, and I experienced my first earthquake. I'm in this little cabin. It was like an earthquake, and I wake up like, oh, my Lord. And the night before, during prayer, Lord, shake this place. And I woke up the next day at an earthquake. I was like, okay, God shook it. But I met Clarence 17 years ago, along with, you're going to laugh, our kids pastor was at that junior high camp, and Levi, who's on staff in our worship department, they were all three at that same camp 17 years ago, and now they're here on staff. Clarence is the guy that makes us sound good. You always know you have a good sound guy when you don't know you have a sound guy. And so if you've never seen Clarence, it's because he's done a really good job. And because whenever something messes up with sound, they all look back like, where's the sound guy? And so Clarence, when I met him, you know, his family has always been, I met his parents, involved in the local church in Anchorage. And Clarence lives and breathes ministry, loves ministry. In fact, one of the happiest days in our life was when we moved up here. And there's his wife, we knew her, his wife, and thought, she's a sharp gal. And when the two started dating, we're like, oh, God is in heaven, and God must really like Clarence. Because God's given Clarence Keeley and Keeley Clarence. And so, would you give it up? And I'm asking for like a 4th of July Young Gun welcome for Clarence Goward as he comes and preaches. Clarence, I'm proud of you. I believe in you. What you're going to see today is the future's great at True North Church.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. You know, Pastor Mark is such an amazing pastor. Like, if there's been one person who has been the most excited about Young Gun Sunday, it's been Pastor Mark. Like, you know somebody who's a quality pastor who looks into the next generation and is bringing up as many people as possible, seeing the vision of people that need to be reached and preparing the church and the congregation and the young guns to go and reach them. So we thank you so much, Pastor Mark. Yes, and this is also the live stream service, but if you didn't know, this service is also going to be sent out to different correctional facilities, and the worship section of this is also sent out to villages that don't have worship teams. So would you go ahead and greet those people right now? We love you guys. Thank you so much. And also, I believe we have a picture. This is my family. You see my wife, Keely, right there. And did it get a little bit warmer in the room when the picture came up because of Keely there? Love you, babe. And we've got my oldest son, Dietrich. You're going to hear a story about him during the message. And the younger son, Ephron, if he's looking skeptical, he's just trying to figure you guys out. And so that's my family. And so let's dive in. All right, so if you guys have been paying attention the last couple weeks, we've been going over major lessons from the minor prophets. And this week, we are diving into Jonah, pun intended. Now, many of you guys have heard Jonah, but in the context of a children's story. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it is a great story to tell children, very imaginative. I mean, think about it. One of the arguably the greatest Christian children's shows of all time, when they're stepping into the Hollywood feature film market for the first time, they thought, what show could we share? What story could we tell that would work in this market? And they chose Jonah. And it worked. They grossed $25.6 million off of showing Jonah. But it also is a great story for illustrations. It's got snacks. You can share snacks with kids. You got goldfish. And then you can do some big motions with it. You see a whale gobble up somebody. And at the end, when you wanted to sing a song, there's even great songs about Jonah or about whales or about fishes. If you have young kids, you probably have heard it. Baby shark, doot, 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 doot. Baby shark, doot, 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 doot. But you have all of these things. But let me just tell you this right off the bat. Jonah is not just a children's story. It's got a lot. It is incredibly applicable to us here and now. In fact, I'll share at the end areas where God was convicting me and changing me as I was preparing for this message. So we're going to start off by reading a large portion of Jonah. Now, if you have your Bible with you, we're going to have it displayed on the screen. But if you're one of those people who have your Bible right in front of you, you're going to flip through it. One of those rogue Bible flippers that's just going to like go through and then stop and hope you find it. Let me give you a little bit of help. So as you're doing it, you'll go through the Pentateuch, the first five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then you'll go past that into the historical books. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And you're going to keep going past the prophetic and wisdom books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And now you get to the major prophets. Now, the major prophets are major because they got a lot of time to say a lot of things. And so you're going to go to the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And now you're going to get to the minor prophets. And the minor prophets are minor just because they said a lot of things in a short amount of time. They didn't get as many pages, but they still say a lot, as you'll see as we go through Jonah. So you go through the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, we've done those already. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and you find Jonah. If you go to Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, you've gone too far. So, and just as a little bit of backstory on Jonah, he is a prophet. And what that basically means is he is a spokesperson for someone else. And in this case, he's a spokesperson for God. And when you would speak on behalf of God, you would also speak out of his authority, which is often why you find prophets speaking to people that are in high status, challenging kings, challenging entire cities. And that's because as they're speaking on behalf of God, because God has a message for this whole group of people. And so that's when we jump into the story of Jonah. Now, let's start off with Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked the people are." But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to escape the Lord. Interesting. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He brought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Now, we'll just take a pause break right here really quick. Basically, Jonah gets a command from God, and he runs the opposite direction. Now, there's a big problem with this command that God gave to Jonah, and that is he hated the Ninevites. Hated the Ninevites. I mean, and it makes sense because the Ninevites were a very wicked people. I mean, they did a lot of messed up things that I wouldn't even speak from a microphone in front of people. It's a very wicked place. But you see that in his heart, he hated them. See, when God gives, if you look at God's history, when he gives a direction like this, he's not just saying this because he's about to judge, like just because he's wanting to announce his judgment before it happens so that you can watch it come down on you. When he does this, he's giving an opportunity for repentance. And so when God's giving the Ninevites an opportunity to repentance, Jonah is like, I would rather see them destroyed than to give them an opportunity for repentance. And so you can see that Jonah hated the Ninevites. And there's one big problem with this that was like a head scratcher as I was reading it. Why would God choose Jonah for this? God knew that. God knew that he hated the Ninevites. Why wouldn't God choose someone who at least was more obedient and would say and would do exactly what God said? Or maybe choose somebody who had a heart for the Ninevites, who was praying for him, or something like that. I mean, surely there was someone. But if you look at God's history in the people that he chooses, he often, the call that God has on them is not just for what it's said to be. Like in this case, it's not just for the Ninevites. God was giving an opportunity for healing in Jonah's own heart from the bitterness and the hatred that he had for others. And if Jonah was going to do this joyfully, that part of him would have to be healed. So God's trying to do two major healings here, in Nineveh and in Jonah. So there's one other thing about this section, and we'll go through the other sections a little bit quicker, but there's one other thing about this section that was just kind of interesting to me. The fact that Jonah was running from God. Now, to kind of illustrate how interesting this is, you saw my son. I have two sons, and one's named Dietrich. And he has gotten to this phase where sometimes he decides to run when I tell him to do something. And his catchphrase that he says right before he's about to run is he doesn't finish the whole sentence. He just says these two words. He says, "I don't." And he's like, "I don't," and then he'll run away. Now, the funny part about him running away is there's a few things that are silly with that. One, I'm bigger, I can catch him. He's not running away from me to where he can't go. Two, if he were to say he got a huge head start, I have access to vehicles, I got a bike, I have a car, I can catch him. And even if that was the case and it even got super crazy, I've got backup. My wife's really fast. She could catch him. We could double team him. And even to make it even more silly, we're renovating a house. And while we're renovating our house, we're living in our garage. So when he's running, he's not running like downstairs. He's running to the other end of the garage. I can see him this whole time. He's not getting away from me, and I can catch him. And so that running away is not solving whatever problem he thinks it's solving. And it's the same way with us when we run from God and when we're trying to run from God. It's not solving the problem that we think it's solving. And we'll see that very clearly as we go to and we look at what exactly happens when you run from God. Let's read Jonah, start in verse 4. "But the Lord hurled a mighty wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break apart the ship. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship." A real quick note. Isn't it interesting how Jonah's disobedience was causing issues for some other people? We'll get back to that in a second. "But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to our God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down upon us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" And I imagine them saying that with the fervency of people whose lives are on the line, because they are. And Jonah answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord our God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for Jonah had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. "Why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop the storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this is my fault." There's one thing here, too, that God stopped me at. This part that says, when Jonah said, "Throw me overboard." Now, I guess I'll say it this way. Has anybody ever brought a solution to a problem to you and you thought, you need to be more creative? Jonas, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, throw me overboard into certain death. I can think of a couple things that would have come to my mind before that. Like maybe, repent. That's a great idea. God, I'm sorry. I will do what you say. And then maybe the storm will cease. Or, hey, why don't we turn this boat around? You know, they do try that, but I could see some other options coming out of here. But why would Jonah jump to this conclusion? It's like maybe he knew that was the right answer. But one thing that I think is an interesting point that I think God wants to share with a few people here. Often, when we've spent a lot of time running from God, we forget. It leaves our mind because of the shame inside that we are one repentant call out to God for redemption. And there's people that I've talked to who have been running for God for a long time, and you start to begin to talk about God's forgiveness, and it's like, that can't be for me. I've been running for too long. Or I've caused such a great storm. How's God gonna forgive me? But we are always one call out of repentance for redemption. Let's continue to read Jonah chapter 1, verse 13. Instead, the sailors rowed even more to get to get the ship to land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they called out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for this man's death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. They offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. If there was an unsung hero of Jonah, and at this time as I've been reading it, they've become some of my favorite, it's those sailors. Like you see them like really hustling hard, but you see their transition from calling out to their own gods to calling out to Jonah's God, not theirs, but Jonah's, to making sacrifices to God. You see a tremendous journey from them. Like they're some of my heroes of the story. But as we're talking about the story of Jonah, there are two big picture thoughts that we want to talk about. The first one, if we fixate on the fish, we will miss the elephant. If we fixate on the fish, we'll miss the elephant. And what do we mean by that? Have there been times in your life where you get a piece of information and react to it and realize that it wasn't the point? Like there's times when I'm talking to my wife and she's telling me a story and I respond to an interesting thing in that story and she like looks at me and kind of shakes her head and she's like, Clarence, that's not why I'm telling you the story. Just keep listening. And then it might happen again. She'll bring my attention back, stop focusing on that. Oftentimes when we read the story of Jonah, we get fixated on the imaginative, entertaining, and the miraculous and miss the simple truths that God's trying to share with us. And so what might that simple truth be? Well, that brings me to point number two, which is this story is about disobeying God's explicit instructions. Nothing was super complicated about this. He didn't have to go find a decoder and like figure out what he was supposed to do. God was very clear. Go to Nineveh and tell them that I'm about to pour out judgment on them. But in order for Jonah to even be able to do this, and hopefully to joyfully do this, he would have to let go of that bitterness that he'd been holding on to. He'd have to let go of that hatred for Nineveh. See, oftentimes our calling is less about the thing we're called to do or what, and it's more about who God is building us into. You see this often through scripture. You think of Moses. Moses, when he's called at the point of his calling at the burning bush, his objection was, I can't speak very well. Let's fast forward to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is literally Moses standing in front of all of Israel speaking about what God has done. So you see the transformation. He goes from not being able to speak very well to eloquently speaking in a way that it's recorded at a book of the Bible. Of the five first books of the Bible, it's recorded. God is taking us through that transformation, taking us where we can lay down our burdens and our trash and trade them in for his glory, his purpose, and his treasure. And we miss out on that when we're running from God. See, the call wasn't just about reaching Nineveh, although that's a huge part of the call. It was about healing Jonah. Another way that in our lives we might fixate on the what and not the who might be when we're in our careers. We're looking for our next job. We're trying to navigate that whole world, that realm. Sometimes we'll focus on the what job is next, what thing is next, when instead, if we were to focus on who we're becoming, honest, trustworthy, problem solvers, people who can be trusted with a lot, when we focus on those characteristics, you'll be surprised how many other job opportunities open up. But if we were to get what we were looking for and not develop over here, then we wouldn't be able to handle the things that we think that we would want. Another area might be relationships. People are out focusing on trying to find that perfect person and have their whole list of qualifications, which isn't bad. Don't get me wrong. That's a good thing to have. But they focus so much on that, and they don't focus on becoming people of God, becoming people who can care for others in a way that a relationship is supposed to take care of. And if we're focusing on the wrong thing, we'll find ourselves in a lot of relational storms. And so, here's what we can expect when we say no to God's clear instructions. First, we can expect a storm. Have you ever felt like you can't get away with anything? Like God's watching you and making sure that he's getting your every move? I'll tell you one quick story about that in my life. There was one time where I was young and my parents made some instructions that there was something I was not supposed to have. But all of my friends had it. So I decided that the best thing for me was to get that thing. And in order to hide it from them, my room, it was a daylight basement, and I could open my window and there was gravel right out the window, and I would dig a hole and put it in that and then cover it up. Well, wouldn't you know it, that not very long after I put together this plan, my little brother, the youngest in our family, has a dream. And in this dream, there are demonic forces trying to get to me. And there's multiple people in our room, but somehow we knew exactly that they were coming after me specifically. And he was telling this to my parents because he was scared. And so then they said, well, take me to the place where this dream happened. And they went right over where I had dug the hole. They dug down deep and found what I was hiding. Sometimes you just can't get away with anything. But you know what happened after that? My mom, so filled with fervor, went out and disciplined every single one of my friends that had that thing. I'm just kidding. No, she didn't. That would be weird. And you know why that would be weird? That would be weird because she is my mom, and so she's in charge of disciplining me. Let's check out Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Have you also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as sons? My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son he acknowledges. So it's if God is disciplining you, you find your place where you're in a storm because we're running away from God, take hope. Because that's God saying, hey, I'm calling out to you. If you're running away from God and you're not feeling that, that's where you might feel a little bit panicked and say, God, I need you more. Number two, expect to put others in danger. Now, who in the story was unexpectedly caught in all of these storms? It was the sailors. The sailors, their livelihoods and their lives were put in risk because of Jonah's decisions. And isn't it interesting that, as we read before, in the middle of all this chaos, there was one person who caused a storm, who knew about the storm, and had the solution for the storm, and he was sleeping. Not only was he sleeping, but then when he awoke, he didn't offer any solutions. This is an area that brought crazy conviction to me, because sometimes we might say, my disobedience doesn't affect others, it only affects me. But then God began to point out to me, he said, Clarence, don't you realize? When Jonah was sleeping, he was oblivious to how much danger he was putting other people in. When we're running from God, we might not know the danger we're putting others in. In fact, even if it wasn't like a big violent storm around us, there's also opportunity costs, the cost of not doing the right thing at the right time and missing out on that opportunity. And so one example of this is I had a mentor, his name was Rob, and he said, he told me a dream that he had, that he was walking into the pearly gates and so excited, but as he walked in, God said, turn around, and he saw the faces of friends and family who were not walking into those pearly gates. And they were looking at him with a sense of betrayal. Like, you knew the answer to this? And we had so many opportunities to talk about it and we didn't? My prayer for us is that the people of God would not be asleep, but would be that solution wherever we are, so that when we walk into eternity, we're bringing people with us and not watching betrayed looks behind the gate. Thirdly, expect a fish. Now that fish in the story of Jonah was the vehicle for redemption. The fish came and swallowed Jonah and brought him to where he was supposed to go. Like we said before, with no matter how far we've been running, we are one repentant call away from redemption. Do not be afraid to call out to God. And number four, expect the same assignment. The word of God came, now this is Jonah 3, verse 1 and 2. The word of God came to Jonah a second time, set out for the great city of Nineveh, and announced to it the message that I will tell you. Now, why should we keep expecting that same assignment? We can expect it because the work that God was trying to do inside of us isn't complete. And so if God is trying to heal Jonah, like, it would be so much, you know, it would be really easy for God to just say, you blew it, boo, let me get another person. But God was still trying to do that healing inside of Jonah. And it's the same with us, except the same assignment, because God wants to heal that part inside of us that we've been holding on to, that bitterness or that fear or whatever it is, he wants that to be surrendered so that we could walk in a relationship with him. So, it's funny that, or not funny, but it's true that God will do whatever it takes to bring people closer to him, even if it means the storm. Some of you feel stuck, like you're repeating the same things over and over again, or can't seem to get past the place that you're at. And maybe that's because there's a lesson that God's trying to bring you to, a place of healing he's trying to bring you to, and you've been running. Some feel in a storm, and God's calling you back to him, but it's like you're Jonah on the boat, like continuing to keep running, and no matter who it's affecting, it's still running, still running, still running. God's calling you back. I believe this is one of those divine moments where God's calling you back. And for some of you, you feel like you're in this storm, but you've never been presented with a solution. Well, let me tell you, here at True North, the solution starts very simply. It starts with the ABCs. A, it means admit. Admit your need for God. Admit that you are really in need of him, that you're a sinner in need of him. B, believe. Believe and respond to God. Believe in him. Believe in Jesus, the name above every name. And C, confess. Confess that he is Lord. Confess that he is Lord of your life. And confess your sins so that he may be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so, for all of these three things, I just want to pray with you guys right now. So you take a second and just close your eyes and bow your head. And if this is you, repeat these with me. Jesus, I need you so much in my life. Thank you for the gift of life that you've provided for me by dying on the cross and raising again. God, heal the parts inside of me that I have been hiding from you for so long. I want to be obedient to you, covered by you, and be your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.